The US president has had nothing but praise for actually a former Prime Minister, John Howard, namely John Howard's coalition government policy of gun control laws. And in an online forum this week, President Obama cited the success of Australia's very tough gun buyback program introduced after the 96 Port Arthur shootings in controlling violence. In his most direct comments to date, President Obama pointed out that there hadn't been a single mass shooting in Australia since the crackdown and expressed shame that, in contrast, the United States had done nothing to stop a surge in school gun violence. A few days before President Obama's comments, economist Andrew Lee, now Labor's assistant shadow treasurer, wrote an opinion piece on how Australia's gun control laws have saved lives. It was for the widely read US website Huffington Post. And Labor MP Andrew Lee is speaking with our business editor Cheryl Bagwell.
Andrew Lee, good morning.
Good morning, Cheryl.
So do you think the US president might have got some of his speaking points from your piece in the Huffington Post?
Look, I don't think there's anybody in the world who wouldn't enjoy being quoted by the US president, but Barack Obama's a smart man. He's doubtless aware of the experience, the Australian gun buyback. Indeed, John Howard, I think, wrote a very thoughtful piece for the New York Times a while back on this. So the idea's been in the water for a while, and it's great to see the president speaking about it directly.
Now, you did write this piece, though, in the Huffington Post, in the form of an open letter to the US National Rifle Association. I mean, what was your objective?
Well, I was asked to write a piece reflecting on the gun buyback, both in terms of the economics and the politics of the buyback, because I think both are important. Typically, in the US, gun buybacks haven't been particularly successful, and that's because they've been carried out at a city level and not accompanied with the other measures around gun safety and regulation, which accompanied the 97 Australian gun buyback. Ours was a startling success in terms of the number of lives saved. My co-author Christine Neal and I estimate around 200 lives saved every year.
Indeed, you actually in this piece did cite the work you did as an economics professor, as you were at the ANU. It looked at the impact of Australia's gun buyback program in reducing gun violence. What did you actually find?
It appears around 200 lives saved, most of them due to averted firearm suicides rather than homicides, which surprised us. The gun buyback was mostly, was ostensibly about reducing mass shootings, and there hasn't been a mass shooting since the buyback took place. But because the person most likely to kill you with a gun is yourself, when you take guns out of homes, you're more likely to avert suicides than to avert homicides.
Just to remind people who don't remember what happened back in 1996, I mean, what was exactly the Howard government's response to the Port Arthur massacre? What actually did it implement at the time?
Well, it implemented more constrained regulations around holding access to firearms and restrictions around keeping guns in the home, and standardised national laws, and then brought back around 250,000 guns. That was about a fifth of the guns in Australia, and a surprisingly large number of them seemed to have come from homes where that was the only gun in the house. Think of the 22 sitting at the back of Dad's closet. And I think perhaps that's why it had such a large effect, because let's face it, if you reduce the number of guns in a household from 10 to 9, I don't think most of us expect that to have a big impact on firearms deaths. But to reduce it from 1 to 0, now we're likely to have a bigger effect.
How were you able to deduce how many lives were saved as a result of that policy? And you also deduced the economic benefit of that too, didn't you?
Yeah, we use a technique called differences and differences, which is exploiting the differences in buyback rates across states in order to learn something about reductions in firearms, homicides and suicides. And with that approach, we can also look at whether there's substitution. So one might worry, for example, that if firearm suicides goes down, that perhaps suicide by other methods was rising. But we didn't see that. It appeared that total lives were being saved. Economists have a kind of cold concept called the notion of a statistical life, which we use for making judgments when we have to spend scarce public resources. And the typical number that's used in public policy is $3.5 million per life. Using that estimate, it looks to us as though every year the value of the life saved exceeds the one-off amount that we spent on the gun buyback. And so it's perhaps one of the most cost-effective government programs ever run. And as a Labor parliamentarian, I have to give credit to the coalition leader, John Howard, and Tim Fischer as the leader of the National Party.
Well, you are now a federal Labor MP. I mean, do you think leaders of either side in this country would be courageous enough to do something similar to that today? Because John Howard did face considerable opposition to that buyback program at the time from gun owners and conservatives in his own ranks.
He faced some at the time, but ultimately I think he carried the community with him. And, you know, I get this sense when I go and, for example, visit the local rifle range in my electorate. Law-abiding gun owners don't want their sport sullied by people who behave badly. They enjoy their sport, they respect their guns, and they are as outraged and shocked by gun deaths as anyone else. Now, this is a position which the US National Rifle Association used to take. It in the 1960s, for example, opposed the ready availability of what were called Saturday night specials, cheap handguns. And there was a turning point in the late 1970s when a group of extremists took over the National Rifle Association and changed it into an organisation which essentially opposed every attempt to regulate guns, including regulation of what were called cop killers, those armour-piercing bullets. If the NRA hadn't changed in the late 1970s, again, maybe the US gun debate could be in a better place.
Are we still getting the benefit of John Howard's gun control laws? Is there an enduring benefit from that even today?
Every year, 200 Australians are alive as a result of the decisions that John Howard and Tim Fischer made. So, you know, we're now nearly two decades on from the change to gun laws. And therefore, you know, we're looking at nearly 4,000 Australians who will get to grow up, have families, live long and healthy lives as a result of Australia having better gun laws than the United States.
Well, some rare praise there from one side of politics for the other. We'll have to leave it there. Thanks very much, Andrew Lee.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Yes, Andrew Lee with Cheryl Bagwell. Andrew Lee, the Shadow Assistant Treasurer for the Labor Party.